Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today for this bonus episode of Observant Report. I just wanted to give you guys a chance to kind of get to know the cast. So we're going to do that in just a minute. But before we do that, I just want to give a huge thank you to everyone. We finally reached 10,000 downloads. Yeah!
10,000!
Yeah, we're really excited to cross that threshold. It's a pretty big deal for us. And, you know, when we started this thing out, we literally had no idea how well it would do or if anyone would even like it. So it's great to know that it is actually liked and listened to. I'm going to just get out of the way and let you guys get to know some of our cast. So, Felicia, let's start with you.
All right. Well, my name is Felicia Hebner, and I play Zuri, our beloved little main alien who is stubborn. I think in terms of the report, one of my favorite scenes that Zuri has is when her and Mira are in the back of a truck I can't remember his name. But Mira, I thought he was so cute. And then I just fall asleep in a stranger's truck because, you know, Zuri. And I start having a flashback of when we're back on Aletheia. And, you know, when we're fighting for food and trying to get back before this huge riot breaks out. And then everyone gets, like, shocked. And then Zuri sees someone basically die in front of her eyes. And I felt like it was a really big background moment and just a big turn for development in terms of Zuri and for us to understand why she is the way she is and why she's so stubborn and why she's just so bullheaded and tends to listen to other people. So I think that's one of my favorite scenes so far, at least in season one, because there's a lot in season two, but we're not there yet. So.
Jeff.
Yeah, so my name is Jeff Fortune. I play Agent Sharp. You know, he starts off as a bad guy, total war vet. He's been in a lot of battles. He's experienced a lot of conflict and war, and he's hunting for his family, and you get to find that out at the end. It's been fun to play a bad guy. I've done a lot of drama when I was younger, and I was always cast as a good person. So to play a bad guy or to play someone that's hunting down someone else, it was just a fun experience, you know? You don't always get to play the bad dude. So there you go. I think one of the things I enjoyed the most was when you find out why he's doing what he's doing, where he turns from an antagonist and you start to see, oh, he's actually becoming more of a protagonist. And that's towards the end when he has Mira and they have their conflict and he asks, Zuri, right at the beginning, or right during that time, he asked her, "Where's my family?" And that was a scene that I really enjoyed doing. So, because you got to see, oh, he's not necessarily a bad guy. This guy's doing it because he loves his family. So he's doing everything out of, in a way, it's weird to say, but he's doing all of this bad stuff out of love. So there you go.
Nice. And it's funny because I remember having to redo that scene several times. Because the first time we did it, I wanted to make this intense sort of situation where, like, the audience could hear the intensity of Agent Sharp's, like, breath.
Yeah.
And, know what I'm talking about. And I thought it was going to make this really cool effect of, like, showing his, like, internal struggle with the situation. But then we listened back to it, and it's like, yeah, this doesn't sound good. This sounds actually
suggestive of... Mira's ear really loud, like, it's like, and that's where I was like, Nate, we might need to change that.
yeah. So, fun fact, it went through several revisions, and actually the unabridged version of season one has the most updated version. And actually the episode six is actually one version behind. So if you listen to the episode compared to the unabridged, it's actually slightly different. A little fun fact for you there. Okay, let's move on. Megan.
Yeah, so I'm Megan and I play Mira. It's really just been a different experience for me. I've never done any sort of like acting or anything, so I didn't really know what to expect coming into it, but I've just had the best time getting to know everyone and getting to know Mira and just working on this project. But I think that my favorite scene, I have so many. I would say my favorite one is probably when Zuri and Mira go to Alan's house for the first time. I just love the dynamic of them all together. I think it's really funny and awkward, which makes it even more funny. But that's for sure one of my favorites. And honestly, just any time where those three are together is just hilarious to listen to.
Awesome. All right, Chris.
Hi, I'm Chris Edwards, and I play Alan in Observe and Report. And I have to agree with Megan. One of my favorite scenes is the one where both alien ladies are at his house and he gets a visitor. It's kind of a toss-up because when you first meet Alan, he's like this kind of mysterious, like, conspiracy theorist who's right. And, like, he seems really brainy. And then as he kind of develops, and this is sort of going into, you know, some of the other stuff, but as he develops, you kind of figure out, like, he's got people issues just like everyone else, you know, but he's so uncomfortable in that scene where he's like, no, they're not here like that. No, mom, listen, you know, and just like all the things that he does, it's one of my favorite scenes. I would say though, honestly, anytime we've recorded where we're all together like that though, that's just, it makes it such a fun experience. So that scene was also just fun to record. So.
Absolutely. Okay. In what ways are you like your character? And in what ways are you different? Zuri.
So since the very beginning of when I first read about Zuri and her character, I asked Nate if this was written as like a personal attack against me, because Zuri and I are very similar, whether it's her stubbornness and her bullheadedness, to even family matters like my dad and my mom being divorced and me having to grow up really fast, more for my sisters than anything else. But, you know, a lot of the trials and tribulations and a lot of the realizing, like, I have no idea who I am without succeeding in this specific area. You know, I feel like as Zuri's growing up, I'm also growing up at a very similar pace. So when it gets to recording, sometimes I feel like I'm in a very vulnerable position, but it comes off great because Zuri at the time is also very vulnerable. So it's nice that as she grows, I grow, which is very nice. Differences? I think differences would probably have to be in tones of voice. I tend to be very dramatic, if you can't tell already. And Zuri just kind of tends to be more level-headed, not necessarily calm, but has a lower kind of tone of voice and everything. I'm all giddy and preppy and whee! So I think that's probably the biggest difference between Zuri and I. But yeah, I really enjoy it. So
love it. Okay. Jeff.
Oh man, which way am I similar in which ways am I different from Sharp? Well, I mean, back, I'd have to say also, you know, I had to ask you, is this a personal attack on me? Because I'm just so much like Sharp, you know, I just walk around with a stick up my butt the whole time. No, that's not true. No, as far as how I am similar to Sharp, I would say I love my family. We both love our families. That's one thing I really loved about that part, that role. was that I'm playing a character that it's all about his family. It always has been. It always will be. And the fact that he can also create families with the people that are around him. When it came to the group he was with the DOE, to this new group he's going to be hanging out with Alan, Zuri, and Mira, they're all going to become a family. And I really liked that aspect of it. And so I'm always about the family. And that's as far as it goes with similarities. Because I will say there's one other thing. My daughter, she listened to it and she was like, uh-oh, Sharp's using daddy's daddy voice. Because, you know, given like the demands and the commands and stuff, when I get a little more frustrated, you know, kids get to bed. That's what it said. Anyway, so, but other than that, that's pretty much the only things we're similar in. Huge differences. I have never had any combat training. I mean, I guess I like to work out a little bit, but other than that, that's it. I'm a goofball. I love dorky, nerdy stuff. When I'm listening to, oh crud, what's his name? The guy who, I can't remember his name all of a sudden. The character that owns all of the Darth Vader stuff.
Bartholomew.
Yeah, Bartholomew. Thank you, Bart. When Bart's talking about his stuff, I'm like, oh yeah, I totally get it. Oh, you know what? That Captain Kirk wasn't that great. You know, that kind of stuff. So I'm all about that stuff. So where Sharp, he's like I said, he's more straight laced, to the point, wants to do it his way, and that's it. And yeah, so there's our differences and similarities right there. So
nice. Yeah, I remember the first time I brought you in to record for Agent Sharp. We had to do like several rounds of like revisiting his voice.
Because no, that's right.
He had this like dramatic sort of stage voice, and I kept trying to like tone you down.
Yeah, I'm definitely over the top. And that I will say, that isn't one other thing I've enjoyed in season two. You know, now that Sharp, that character's not getting orders as much like he was in the first season, I do get to do a little more. I get to do a little more joking around. I'm slightly more animated with my voice, but not too much. And I do remember when we were working with the voice, like we were trying to figure out how much smoke we wanted to add. We were talking like, Jeff, mm-hmm. You'd always say, Jeff, not the Batman voice. Because I had this tendency to be like, all right, guys, let's do this thing, you know? So that was fun with just hanging out with you and trying to figure that out. So anyway.
Absolutely. And also for our listeners, if you are listening to this and you have not watched the show, just so you know, this is obviously, as you can see, full of spoilers. So stop watching this, go back, listen to the show, and then come back once you're done.
now that you've heard about half of the show already.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. So let's move on to Megan.
Ooh, I think that Mira and I are very similar. She definitely can be worried a lot at times, which I can relate with. But I also think that she's more introverted and she has a lot of depth on the inside, but she doesn't really like show herself out publicly very often. I also think that she's really sassy sometimes, and I'm very sassy sometimes too. So that's another similarity. But I think differences, I don't know if we have many differences. Probably just that like she has different interests, obviously, with her engineering, and she can fix things easily and is just like a quick thinker. And I don't think I'm like that at all.
Awesome. Yeah, it's hard for me to decide. Like, I know when I was casting these characters, I was trying to keep it mostly about the voice, but to be honest, like, I think it's impossible to separate like my understanding of the characters and my understanding of you guys as my friends. And so I do have to say, I think Mira is definitely typecasted to your personality for sure. So let's move on to Chris.
Well, fourth time's a charm. I also, when I was reading the script, I was like, huh, I wonder if Nate talked to my parents and talked to my siblings and talked to everyone in my life. Weird. it was like uncanny. Like I said, with the meeting with the two gals there at my apartment, you know, and my mom, I take a call from my mom and I'm like, mom, not right now. You know, like I've had those calls with my mom. Like it's a real thing. So yeah, I would say as far as like the war rewards that Alan is right up my alley. I would say like the analytical, like conspiracy theorist is right up my alley. I don't know that I've been right per se. I mean, everyone likes to think that they're right, you know? So I don't know if I don't have any theories about aliens, although I do, but I won't get into that now. But no, I would say some of the main differences though are with the type of personality that Alan seems to exude, he's much more shy. I can't really tell from the writing and just from my own investigation, I can't really tell if he's introverted or not yet, but he definitely seems really shy. Whereas with me, I am very outgoing and I have both extroverted and introverted tendencies as well. So I kind of differ in that way. I would also say just like my interest in like where my expertise goes is not necessarily in like the sending out radio signals and having them bounce off of like invisible spaceships and coming back down and me like proving that aliens exist. My expertise is way different and my interests are a little different too. So that's probably like the biggest way that we differ. But I would say like, yeah, his issues with his parents, his issues with his own like romance and his heart and like all those things are all, those are all very similar. So
love it. Okay. If you could say one thing to your character, what would you say, Felicia?
So basically you're asking me what I would say to myself. I would say to myself and to Zuri to listen to the people who are around you. Throughout the whole entire story, Mira is giving Zuri just some really good ways to not necessarily get out of things, but to handle things in a more responsible way. But Zuri is so focused on her future and Mira's future and not facing any of the consequences because she doesn't want any of that to be jeopardized, that she's willing to, you know, go and talk to humans so that they can get parts for the ship and try to get back, or they're trying to do all of these just completely different things. And as Zuri keeps relying more on herself instead of the people who love and trust her, like Mira, like you can see that, you know, they don't necessarily drift apart, but there starts to become a rift between Zuri and the people that she loves. And so I would say to Zuri that she just needs to take a step back and be willing to let other people say things to her.
Yeah, perfect. I love that. And, you know, and I think that, you know, spoiler alert, is definitely going to play a huge role in Zuri's character development through season two. So yeah, it was going to be great. Let's move on to Jeff.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, the one thing I would say to Sharp, man, there's so many things I would say to Sharp. You know, it goes back to the fact that me and him are very different when it comes to how serious he is and how much of a goofball I am. You know, like he's just one of those guys. Just he wants to kick you so hard in your backside that he's going to kick your foot so far up your backside that the sweat on his knee is going to quench your thirst. Type of guy. You know what I'm talking about? Whereas I'm more of a just chill. So I think one of the things I would tell him is just relax, man. Just chill. I get your motivations. I get the fact that you're a run for your family. And I will say I will be more intense if I were to be hunting down and trying to find where my family is too. But relax. And also just like Zuri said, just trust the people that are around you. They all have skills. You guys are. And I think, can I say alert that I'm gonna spoiler alert just saying he's gonna work together with these people a lot better in the future and we're all gonna become a better team, but he needs to learn how to do that and chill out just a little bit. So that's all I'd have to say to him. Trust the people that are around you.
Yes, absolutely. Awesome. Let's move on to Megan.
To Mira, I think I would tell her in her worrisome times to be more calm because it's going to be okay. But I think she's a very logical and persistent thinker. So I would just say to keep like leaning on those thoughts and to keep being persistent. And to just remind herself like it's going to be okay. And like she has new friends and people that she's meeting in the team to back her up in her struggles.
Good. Really good. All right. And Chris.
There's a common theme. I would say, you know, Alan kind of spent the bulk of his, you know, sounds like the bulk of his adulthood kind of being off on his own little island. And then, you know, he's kind of thrust into the situation where he has to trust not only other people, but like literally other beings, you know? So, and he does pretty well, but then, you know, now you're introducing, you know, a whole new character who at this point was an enemy, and now they're kind of glued to the hip, you know, and he's sort of felt like he's being dragged along. And so I would say what I would want to tell Alan is, you know, one, trust that you other people can make up for what you lack. And also I would tell him to share his Mountain Dew and not be because, you know, he is getting robbed from, basically, as they took all of his throwback, Mira. So anyway, yeah, that's what I would say.
That was Zuri that took all the Mountain Dew.
Zuri was one. Oh, that's why. Okay. So I've been misplacing my anger in my heart. No. But yeah, I would say, like, you know, trusting in people, because other people have what you lack, and that type of teamwork is the best kind that builds the best trust. So
good. I love it. Absolutely. I just want to go back real quick to Jeff. When you were talking earlier, you, instead of saying Felicia, you said Zuri. I consistently refer to all these guys by their character's name, not on purpose. And it's because in my mind, they've all become, just one quick little anecdote. You guys might enjoy this. I was recording a song with Felicia, and I had to make a new track. This wasn't even related to Observer Report at all. And I had to make a new vocal track for her to record on. And instead of typing Felicia in the track, I actually typed Zuri. Because she just is Zuri. But,
and it wasn't just once. It was Zuri 1, 2, 3, and 4.
That is right. Yes. Awesome. Okay, so a couple more questions here. What is your favorite behind-the-scenes memory of producing Observer Report, Felicia?
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
My favorite behind the scenes. There's so many. Because I say things wrong and then continue to say them over and over and over again until I get them exactly how I want them, which can get a little tedious. But maybe my favorite behind the scenes moments would have to be when we have to go back and turn the gain or the volume down on the mic because I was talking too loud. Because it happens like every 5 minutes we're recording. You'd think we would learn by now that I'm loud. No. So that's also pretty funny.
Yes, I love the multiple takes comment. There's been times when I'm like, yeah, that take was perfect. And you're like, nope, we need to go back. But
yeah, I'll be like, nope, trash, delete it.
Well, and I have been saving some lines for outtakes. But let's just say there are certainly some lines that Felicia does not let me save for outtakes. but maybe I'll throw some outtakes in this episode at the end, actually. So if you're in the middle of this episode, stick around. All right, let's move on to Jeff.
Yeah.
Favorite behind the scenes moment.
Favorite behind the scenes moment. Man, I think I honestly, I kind of have two, if I'm allowed. I guess one was when we did the live table read. That was great. And I did we had Tatiana in there and Michael and even Watson, who plays Watson, you know, Andre. We were all together. We were recording. It was a blast. We had a bunch of inside jokes instantly about the show. Like, you know, there you go. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, tacos. So whenever Tatiana gets shy, bring out the tacos. I don't know how that happened. It just did. Anyways. And then the only other time, I always have a good time recording, Nate, with you. It's just always fun, you know, we're goofing off, but at the same time, we're keeping it legit. We're getting stuff done. But yeah, it's just a great brainstorming time. It's a great time figuring out how the character's feeling. And also, much like Felicia, game. Yeah. Always have to control those games because I cannot control my volume for the life of me. So.
Oh, I love that. The different character groups in Observant Report, I have different like Facebook message groups with those groups, voice actors, and the team ETC group with Jeff and the rest of that team. I can't even tell you how many times my phone gets blown up and I'll open it and it's stuff about tacos. I don't even know how tacos happened, but it's a thing now with that team. So we need to have like a taco party or something sometime.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's move on to Megan.
My favorite behind the scenes memory is definitely recording with Nate. I frequently mess up a lot. And so just like messing up and then him stopping the recording, we just laugh about it. Especially when I have to make certain sounds or when Nate has me like yell or something, it doesn't come out loud enough. Like I'm just not a loud person. And so it's just funny to listen to it back. And then I do have another one though. I think it was Chris, Felicia, and I all recording together, and it was just funny to like hear it all come together at once and all of us like joking around together. That was a really good time as well.
I will never forget toward the end of season one, we learned that Megan doesn't like making sounds, like vocal sounds. The talking part is okay, but like, you know, like so in the script I'll put like painful sound or something like that, and she doesn't like that. So then for season two, if you've listened to the first episode, basically Mira spends the entire episode with her leg totally injured, and basically most of her lines in the script are painful sound, ow, shriek, scream in pain. And I can't, I'll never forget the time that I went up to Megan and I said, hey, so I know you don't like sounds, just so you know, basically you're gonna do that a lot for season two. And she was like, yay, not. But I will add to that though, Megan, you did a phenomenal job on that episode. I think you absolutely nailed it. So yeah, that was great. Let's move on to Chris.
Well, I'll follow suit and also have two. I definitely agree with Megan that the time where there's been a couple of times where it's been Megan, Nate, and I, and there is one time where it was Felicia, Megan, Nate, and I. And that was probably one of my favorite scenes, just because the in-person chemistry between the characters when you're in a scene together too, you just kind of play off of the energy and the volume, so you don't have to keep adjusting gains and other things. And so I would say, like, that's probably one of my favorites. I would say too, like on that same note, would be just like all the different times where we were ad-libbing and kind of making, kind of bringing the, fleshing the character out a bit more, you know, it can feel kind of cold and sterile. And so when you kind of put yourself into the scene with all the different ad-libs, or maybe you added a line or changed a line, those have just been some of my favorite because it's really me kind of embodying Alan. So I really liked that. But then there was one time where Nate and I needed to record, and we had a deadline and we had to record. So we may or may not have recorded in my car. And that was like legit one of my most favorite times because we were just like doing the lines. We spent the time prepping beforehand, so I kind of knew how I wanted it to sound. And we were like, he's like, oh, don't worry about that train in the background. Oh, don't worry about those cars passing by. Oh, don't worry about the homeless guy taking a pee. Like, yeah, it's fine. And so I was like, okay. Like, I guess he's like, it'll be fine. Cause he's in like a junkyard anyway, wherever we were. And it was like, all right. So that was pretty awesome. But just like that time, the quality time is just so invaluable. Like, you can't really measure it. So.
Absolutely. You know, the time that I spend like by myself writing script, doing score, doing sound effects fully, it all kind of like, I spend all of that time basically just looking forward to recording sessions with these guys, because truly the most fun of all of this really is that interpersonal interaction. And, you know, when the whole coronavirus thing first started, I was like, shoot, what are we going to do? Like, I can't, you know, we're not supposed to, you know, social distance. I can't have recording sessions. And so we had this terrible, terrible, bad idea of trying to have everybody record their lines remotely. And, you know, and a lot of the cast, all they have is a smartphone. So I was like, yeah, I think we can make this work. I think I can like audio engineer it to sound decent. And then, you know, I started getting some submissions, and you just can't get a decent sound with a phone usually, unless you're just really, really good at it. Like Felicia. And so, you know, eventually things started to kind of calm down, and I managed to, start actually getting to bring these guys in. And it was depressing thinking I was going to have to make season two without getting to ever see anyone. So it is those one-on-one or even group recording sessions that really makes this fun to make, for sure. All right, we are going to do one more bonus question. What are you looking forward to in season two, Felicia?
I know this one already. some of my favorite scenes in season two so far is every time that Zuri and Sharp talk to each other, because there is so much sass and anger, and I love it. It's absolutely hilarious. Because Sharp is like, what's your problem? And I'm like, I don't know. What's your problem? I love it. I think it's absolutely hilarious. I love every minute of it.
Yeah.
Because in a sense, you know, he's mad that, you know, he's like, where's my family? And then on the other hand, you know, Zuri's also like kind of younger and everything like that. I just think it's hilarious because Zuri's like, they both have a little bit of chip on their shoulder. And so I love it when they go head to head. It's fantastic.
Yes, there will be plenty of that. Plenty of that to come. Let's move on to Jeff.
Oh man, I'm just excited about interacting, having Sharp interact with the new group. That's what I'm excited about. Just like Felicia was saying, I had to check myself. I was going to say Zuri again. Like Felicia was saying, just that interaction that Zuri and Sharp have is just so fun. That dynamic of just, like she said, it's they're button heads. They're giving each other some attitude the whole time. It's really fun to see. And then also, I'm going to enjoy seeing a little Sharp and Alan working together. That's going to be fun, you know, spoiler alert. But yeah, so it's just going to be fun to have working with this new group of people and getting that dynamic figured out for Sharp. So,
yes. Megan.
One of my favorite scenes that we've already recorded is a scene between Alan and Mira. And I just think that it's so funny. And so I'm really looking forward to hearing that. But also just hearing like the new team to come together and seeing how they kind of react all together and figure out a way to solve the problem that they're in.
Absolutely. And Chris?
Looking forward, kind of like what Jeff said, I'm looking forward to seeing Sharp kind of come in. He's sort of the piece that you didn't know was missing, because up until this point, right, it's just been the three of them, you know, and they've been kind of them against the world. And so you finally bring in the piece that wasn't there before that kind of helps not only push the story forward, but like it doesn't feel generic. It feels like that's what, why, you know, it's like when you add salt to your otherwise perfect soup and you're like, that's what was missing. You know, Jeff is the salt sort of in this, in that analogy. So I'm really excited to see the way that Alan not only will start to, okay, that should be, I, you know, there are traits that Jeff, you know, that, sorry, Sharp has that Jeff portrays, that I think Alan's going to pull from. And I think you'll see some growth from Alan thanks to Sharp. And I'm really excited to see how that goes. But yeah, just seeing how the story unfolds now that we have this fourth new member. I'm so excited about it.
It's a good thing you cleared that up there. I was starting to get a really big head. I was like, oh, wow.
Thank Jeff, you, guys. Jeff has so yeah. much he brings.
Oh, man. Awesome. Well, hey, that concludes our interview. Guys, is there anything else you want to say? Open table.
You know, honestly, I was kind of asked, I want to know what Nate's favorite thing was about the whole production of Observe and Report. What has been your favorite moment?
Oh, geez.
I'll give you two.
You'll give me two? Oh, good.
I'll give you two.
Oh, my goodness. Dude, that's such an impossible question.
For season one, let's narrow it down.
Season one?
Only lines with Alan, though. There you go. It's even more narrow.
Maybe it rhymes with like Zuri.
You know what? I will say this. Every single one of us are amateurs at this. None of my voice actors are you know, professional, like you know, making a living off of voice acting voice actors. I'm like barely making a little bit of money on like my audio production skills, and Observe and Report honestly is a portfolio piece. I created it because I wanted to make sci-fi music. And it was a lot of work, but seeing my friends, these people that I just love and adore, come together to guys, this started with a little idea of like a little 8-minute drama that one of my friends pushed me and said, you need to make this way bigger than that, and you make it a big series. And then I just put a little message out on Facebook and said, hey guys, I'm making this little audio drama thing. If anyone's interested, you know, come try it out. I'd love to have you, you know. And then I got so many people saying, hey, I want to try voice acting. Hey, I'd like to get involved with this, that I never would have thought would have. And then seeing that grow into what Observe and Report is now, you know, breaking 10,000 downloads, and, you know, getting just such generous, very kind comments, you know, on the reviews on Apple Podcasts and on Twitter. Seeing something that started out just as this sort of, let's just see how this goes, grow into something that like people I don't even know are legitimately saying, hey, I like this and enjoy this, thank you, it is amazing. And I'm just honestly, I'm so grateful and thankful to these guys and the rest of the Observe and Report cast for really making this possible. Because, you know, if it wasn't for these guys stepping up to the plate and saying, yeah, let's try this, Observe and Report wouldn't exist. It'd be me trying to make voices, and trust me, it wouldn't be good. So, you know, these guys, they've owned their characters. They've, you know, when they come into the studio to record their lines, they know their characters better than I do. I've messaged Felicia, like, hey, Felicia, like, tell me about Zuri. What would Zuri do in this situation? And I let Felicia tell me, because Felicia knows Zuri. And it's just so cool that all of these guys, you know, Chris mentioned before, the ad-libbing. We've been doing more ad-libbing in season two, because we're all starting to learn our characters now. And these guys are starting to come in at the studio now and tell me, hey, I think Alan would say this here, or, you know, I think Sharp would react that way. And it makes it so much better because these guys really are owning their character. And so, yeah. Chris is drinking the Mountain Dew. I love it. Love it.
Okay, so that was one. What's your second thing you like?
I think I took the time of two.
Yeah, I remember when Alan said all that. That's a good one.
No, but hey, I remember before Observer Report was even a big thing, I remember you and I sat down and like brainstormed all these different things like while we were waiting between church services. I just started brainstorming all these ideas for Observer Report and my group here, like, hey, I'm doing it now.
Super cool. Yeah.
That was really, really fun.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, man, it has been so much fun, you guys. Well, hey, huge thank you to all of our listeners. We love you. We appreciate you. And this would not be what it is without you guys actually listening to it and, you know, commenting on it and things, so... From the bottom of our heart, seriously, thank you so much, and can't wait to release season episode 2 on you guys. So, goodbye, everyone.
I couldn't get throwback because they didn't seem to have it, but I do have my trusty Mountain Dew here.
So. Oh, yes, classic. Oh, you gotta use that.
None of you guys are welcome to because you took all of it last time.
Oh, I love that. You gotta use that in the recording. That's perfect.
Oh no! Did it not go?
It didn't. Yeah, we totally lost you.
Oh, she just gave the secrets to the universe too. No one recorded. Man, that's a bummer. We really need a code word. But I guess we can't hear it.
No, right. Just lick your lips.
Yeah. perfect office reference.
Love that is it. Awesome.
Oh my gosh.
I should have got my office mug. Okay.
Oh. You found it at Spencer's.
I can't see you guys, but I can hear you. So.
Yeah, we'll cut all this out, obviously.
No, keep it every minute.
If you're going to brag about another network, oh my lord.
Fine. They'll never...
Put so much breath on that.
Okay, sorry, I went fine. All right, sorry.
You have a decon chamber?
Then, you just turn these knobs here and the water is Well, the hot water runs out after about 30 minutes and after I stop stuttering, so that's... Well, the water... Wow. All right. You know, that's fine. Well, the hot... No, well, the water... Okay, geez, what am I supposed to say?
Yeah. Oh, shoot. I already started talking before.
Give Junior a crash course... Give Junior a crash course. All right.
Alan trips.
The shuttle should be in that warehouse.
His computer's always late.
Right, sorry. You can just hand them me the clothes. What am I reading? Hold on.
Our historians refer to that time. Oh, shoot, Zoss, okay. But Lathian's.
Right, sorry. You can just hand them to me around the door. The clothes, I mean. If I find something for you to wear, then I'll give it to you when your clothes are washing. Once you're done. I don't know what I just said. I'll just read that line. Don't stop recording.
Our ancestors were subterranean dwellers. We spent 2 centuries developing an artificial fudge sauce.
You can just hand me the blah, blah, blah. You can just hand them... Nope.
In a way with the... Blah, blah.
You can just hand them to me around the door. The clothes, I mean. I'll find you something that you can wear when you get out. Okay, I have to read that again. Okay.
Alan! No.
Right, sorry. You can just hand them to me around the door. The clothes, I mean. I'll find...
Oh, I'm sorry. You had it. Here, just delete it.
No, you didn't just bring our dad up in here.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.